method, and this is called fluoroscopy. So fluoroscopy is exactly identical to the conventional or plain film. The difference is that it has an added contrast to the halo viscous, and it has sort of a dynamic orientation of the structure that we are looking at. The other type of modalities, as you see, the one we have discussed previously. However, there are an added modality which can be utilized in evaluating patients with the symptoms that are related to the biliary tracts, the intra and extrahepatic biliary tract, as well as the pancreatic duct. If you have, for example, an inflammatory process or neoplastic process that has affected the pancreatic duct, so we can do some sort of special examination in which we are utilizing again the plain conventional X-ray, but with an added procedures, interventional procedures, by advancing either a catheter or needle into the structure that we are interested in, the biliary system, and inject contrast to that area where we could delineate the tree more clearly, as you will see later on. This type of examination called the ERCP or the PTC. ERCP stands for the utilization of the endoscope and then passing the catheter into the biliary system, and therefore it's called endoscopic retrograde cholangiopancreaticography, or introducing a needle through the skin into the liver and allocate that needle in relation to the biliary system and inject contrast, and this is called percutaneous transhepatic cholangiography. Let's come to the plain conventional X-ray. We said that in the conventional X-ray we need the source which can produce the X-ray and the patient, the structure, and then the imaging platform, whether it is the film or the detector in the digital imaging. So these are the three components in the imaging of the patients in general. Now the X-ray tube is like the bulb, the usual bulb. It has an anode and cathode. When you connect the electricity, the X-ray, the energy of the electrons will hit a special type of material in the target, and this one will produce the X-ray. Now, the X-ray will produce in different directions. However, due to the angle of the target, it will be produced in a certain area, and through this certain area, we could have a window that allows the X-ray photons to go through and direct it toward the area that we are interested in imaging. The end result will be this, the X-ray photons directed to the patient and then traverse the patient and interact with the platform, whether it is the film or the detector. According to this interaction, you will see the shadows of the structure that we are looking at. So, on the plain film, to understand or to have an idea how can the plain film help us in evaluating patients with certain symptoms related to the GI tract, we need to know the normal, as we have mentioned in the musculoskeletal lecture. So you need to know the normal, therefore you could appreciate the abnormality in the X-ray. Now, in the normal, we need to know what are the things that we need to look at. Before knowing this, we need to know what type of X-ray should we take. So normally what we take is a supine film, patient lying down, the X-ray source is superior, and we expose the patient in frontal projection, so we call it the AP film of the abdomen. And this usually includes the abdomen from the level of the diaphragms down to the pelvis, or what we call it, the symphysis pubis. This is the usual X-ray that we take for the abdomen. However, in certain occasions, because of patient with a suspicious, for example, with bowel obstructions, we need to document the presence of obstruction within the bowel So what we take? We take an erect film to look for the stagnation of the fluid within the bowel. And this is usually seen as an air fluid levels within the bowel loops. So the erect film will delineate presence of stagnation of fluid within the dilated bowels as to, say, confirm or exclude the presence of bowel obstruction. However, in certain occasions where the patient cannot stand, for example, a critical patient or patient who is sick, he cannot stand, what we need to do is to do an X-ray which can give us an idea about the stagnation of the fluid within the loops. This can be done in what we call it the lateral decubitus projection, the lateral decubitus film. What's the lateral decubitus film? It is that the patient is lying down on his lateral aspect. Normally, if you have the X-ray superior, what we will get is a lateral projection of the abdomen. Like when you do the chest, this is the AB. If you turn on the lateral, it will be a lateral film. So in the abdomen, if the patient is supine, you will take an AB. Mm-hmm. If you rotate him on the lateral aspect, it will be a lateral film. What we need in the lateral film, it will not show us the fluid levels. Because when the patient is lying down, the fluid will be in a horizontal plane. So you cannot see it on the superior exposure. So what we need is we move the X-ray tube from the vertical into a horizontal plane, and we do the X-ray, we shoot the X-ray in the transverse axis. In this way, we could, as if we are doing frontal projection, but the patient is lying down. So in this occasion, we could see the fluid levels within the bowel loops, which indicate the presence of obstruction. And we will talk about the air fluid level later on. Now, on the plain X-ray, when the X-ray traverses the abdomen and hit the platform, it will interact with the tissue inside the abdomen, and the end result will be this image, which is a grayscale of shadows. And this grayscale of shadows will range from the white to the black. You know that the white is the most dense structures, which is usually represented by the spine, ribs, or the pelvic bone, and the black structure, which is the air-containing structures. Why the bone will appear as white and the air will appear as black? The bone is so dense that it will not allow the X-ray to go through it easily. So the end result at the platform, there will be no X-ray photons that hit the platform underneath the areas where there is bone or dense structures. And whenever you have an area which is not exposed by the X-ray, it will appear as white on the X-ray or in the screen. While the areas that can allow the X-ray photon to traverse it easily and interact with the platform, it will appear as
black.
Therefore, any area that contain air will appear as black. The lungs, the gas in the bowel, stomach, large or small bowel, all these structures will appear as black. Now, in between these two densities, there is a variation of thick, modest, and thin soft tissue structures in the abdomen. And according to the thickness of these structures, you will have sort of a grayscale shadows in the abdomen. One is dark gray, one is light gray, according to the density and the thickness of the structures. We have the liver, spleen, kidneys. And how can we know each structure? We said that the abdomen are all superimposed over each other. However, since we know the location of these structures, the distribution of the location of these structures within the abdomen, we could say that this is the area of the liver, the spleen, pancreas, as you will see in this image. So what are the things that we look at? We look at the soft tissue, the gas bubble distribution, and the bone and calcifications. Now, in the soft tissues, what are the structures that can be delineated on the plain film? We have the liver in the right upper quadrant, and you can see the edge of the liver here. We have the two kidneys in the paraspinal region, just below the last dorsal or thoracic vertebra, and the upper, in the region of the upper lumbar spine. And you could see the outline of the kidney here. And on the left side, you can see the shadow of the spleen. The pyramidal structures or triangular structures that are seen in the paraspinal region, along the lumbar region, are the paraspinal muscles, which are the psoas muscles. In the pelvis, if the patient have a full bladder, urinary bladder, you might see it as a rounded soft tissue structures within the pelvis, which is usually presented as faint rounded structures. So these are the major structures that can be seen on the plain abdominal X-ray. And actually, according to the bowel preparation, are the bowel clean or the patient has fecal residue due to the unpreparation, the soft tissue structures will be clearly or unclearly delineated on the plain film. So we have to have a well-prepared patient to be capable of seeing the soft tissue structures in the abdomen. Now, if you come to this patient, we could see that the soft tissue structures that are delineated, you could see part of the spleen, part of the edge of the liver here, and the two kidneys, as well as the shadow of the psoas muscles. Are they clear? If you look at the pelvis, can you see the faint oval-shaped structure here, which is the urinary bladder? Sometimes you might see in the female the shadow of the uterus. Now, what about the gas bubble pattern, the black shadows? We said this is the soft tissue. What about the black shadows? Black shadows are usually related to mainly the stomach and the bowel, small and large bowel. The stomach is usually seen in the upper abdomen, in the central portion, going more toward the left side. And usually you will see the stomach with some air within the lumen, unless the patient is having a repeated type of vomiting, in which he vomits everything in the stomach, so the stomach will be collapsed. Or the patient has an NG tube, which usually sucks all the air from the stomach. In these two occasions, you might not see the gas within the stomach. What about the bowel loops? Bowel loops, you might see few bowel loops scattered through the abdomen in a normal patient. If you do erect, you might see within these few loops air fluid levels. So air fluid levels can be seen in a normal patient. It is not only seen in patients with pathology. You could see air fluid levels in a normal patient. However, if you see dilated bowel loops with air fluid levels, at that time you might suspect the presence of bowel obstruction. So air fluid level per se alone is not a sign of obstruction. واضحة؟ عدناها خمس مرات معناتها ما حجيبها في الامتحان. صحيتوا ولا لسه نايمين؟ طيب. Air fluid level per se alone is not a sign of obstruction. If you see it within a dilated loops more than 5, at that time you will suspect the presence of bowel obstructions. The normal diameter of the bowel loops is usually small bowel, usually range between 2 to 3 centimeters. Okay? So if you take a diameter of a bowel loop like this one here, is usually between 2 to 3 within the small bowel. In the large bowel, it will extend beyond that. It might reach 5 centimeters in the transverse or even in the left side, and it can reach up to 9 centimeters in the right side, in the cecum, in the beginning of the colon. Mika, I'm sorry.
Dr. Stex, the air fluid level.
air fluid level, I'll show it to you an example. If you have a tube and you fill that tube with up to the half with the fluid, if you look at the tube, what you will see? You will see a column of fluid within the tube, and above this fluid level, you will see what?
Space.
Air. The tube will fill with air. So the cutoff between the fluid and the air, this is called the level, the fluid level. Air, fluid, level. What happened? Now, the bowels in the abdomen, they are like the tubes. So if they have a fluid within, and you do erect film, you see the fluid filling part of the bowel with the air in the undependent. The fluid will be in the dependent portion, while the air in the undependent. So you see it as air, fluid, liquid. Cool. But I said, if you see it in a dilated loose, at that time you will suspect the abnormality or the pathology. Now, is it simple or easy to differentiate between small and large bowel on the X-ray? It's not always easy, but remember from the anatomy that the large bowel is usually peripheral in location within the abdomen. It looks like the frame of a box. So the frame, the peripheral portion, is usually formed by the large bowel, while the content of the box inside is the small bowel. So what we see is that, like this drawing, the large bowel is in the peripheral portion, while the small bowel, they are in the central portion. Is it the only sign that you could differentiate between the two? No. We have another important sign which is more important than the location, which is the mucosal folds of the bowel. You know, the mucosal folds of the small bowel differ from the mucosal folds of the large. How they differ? This is anatomy. ما له علاقة بالعلوم. تذكروا شيء الفرق بين mucosal folds of small and large bowel؟ What we call the folds of the large bowel?
Hafstra.
The hafstriation. The hafstra and pattern of the mucosal fold of the large bowel. What about the small bowel? The valvary conventus, man of two. So, the small bowel, they are the valvary conventus, while in the large bowel, we call it the hafstra. Why? Because in the large bowel, they are short, the folds are short and thick. If you look at the bowels, in the shape of the bowel in the large colon, it is thick and short, while in the small bowel, they are very thin and they extend all the way the whole diameter of the bowel. Mm-hmm. So the most important is that in the small bowel, there are thin folds that extend all the way through the whole diameter of the bowel, while in the colon, they extend only for a few millimeters. I'll show you an example. Look here. Can you see these? They are thick and short. If you look at the small bowel, let me show you another example. Can you see here? They are thin folds that extend throughout the whole aspect of the diameter of the bowel. So these are the mucosal folds of the small bowel, while this is the typical Hafstra pattern of the mucosal fold of the colon. Let's come to this patient. Do you think he is well prepared or not prepared? If he is not prepared, you will not see the outline of the structures clearly. So the abdomen will be full of fecal matters. Here, the bowel that we see is all containing gas. There's no fecal matters within. So it means that this patient has taken bowel preparation. What we mean by bowel preparation?
Light,
we give him, what we call it, something to facilitate the extraction of feces from the bowel. Laxatives. So the laxatives to clean the bowel. So if we look at this part of the gas bowel shadow, is it small or large bowel?
Small.
This part?
Small.
Small. Are they thin or thick?
Thick and short.
Thick and short. So thick and short is small or large?
Large.
Large. So this is the large bowel. If we look carefully at this one, can you look at this one? Try to concentrate on the folds. Are they thin or thick?
Thin.
So this should be small or large?
Small
bowel loops. So this is how we differentiate the large and small bowels. The large bowel are usually peripheral in location, while the small bowel, they are more central. Let's look at another example. What do you think about this structure containing air? The stomach, because it is the almost central portion of the upper abdomen. And since this is the stomach, this should be what we call it the lesser curvature of the stomach, and this is the greater curvature. If we come to this example, you can see the stomach, the colon, and even gas within the rectum, which is seen in the lower aspect of the abdomen, in the pelvis. This is another good example in which you can see nice bowel preparation, as if the colon is filled with gas. The whole aspect, the right side, the transverse, left side, even the sigmoid and rectum. And you can see that it is like box in the peripheral portion of the abdomen. You can see the ascending, the transverse colon, the descending sigmoid and rectum. Now, if we come to these two examples here, what do you think? Are they symmetrical in regard to the bowel preparation or different?
Limpia gas here.
This one has gas, while this one,
can you see the fecal material?
Can you see the fecal matter? These are the soft tissue densities that are seen inside the gas bowel. So this is what I meant with fecal matters that are seen inside the bowel. While this one, you could see that the bowels are clean. It's only gas. So this is a patient who had taken bowel preparation, while this one is not. Of course, one would ask me why this one was not prepared. Remember that not all patients who has to have an abdominal X-ray should have bowel preparation. If you have a patient with an emergency presentation in which he has an acute abdomen, you don't wait for bowel preparation and then take the X-ray. He is presenting with an acute abdominal symptoms. So we have to evaluate his acute presentation. So we take the X-rays in the same status without bowel preparation, just to look for possible perforation, obstructions, or obliteration of the bowel loops according to the type of presentation. So this is just a quick orientation about what are the things that we should look at in the abdomen in regard to the dense, soft tissue, and air-containing structures, their anatomical locations, and the orientation of the appearance of these structures, and how we could differentiate between small and large bowel. Let's see now some examples of the importance of the platelet in evaluating patients presenting with, for example, acute abdomen or other entities. The most important issues in regard to the platelet is the acute abdomen, presence or absence of masses, and in some occasions, presence of an inflammatory process within the abdomen. In the acute abdomen, the main issues are related to either bowel obstruction, perforation, with the presence, when you have a bowel perforate, what will happen?
Air under the dam.
Air will escape into the peritoneal cavity and you will see it as air under the diaphragm. if you have a patient with renal colic, he will present with an acute abdominal pain. If you have a patient with mass causing bleeding or effacement or mass effect, pressure effect upon the adjacent structures, the patient will present with an acute abdominal pain. Let's take now the bowel obstruction. In bowel obstruction, what do you expect to see?
Dilated
bowels. Now, remember we said that the bowels are like a tube. So the tube, how can we dilate any tube? Either by, if you have a tube which is connected to the water, if you open the water and you close the distal end of the tube, what will happen? It will distend, right? This is one of the issues. So obstruction, distal obstruction within the tube. The second issue is that if you bend the tube, what will happen? You will close the lumen as if you are obstructing the lumen. So bending of the tube will also cause obstruction. And this bending usually occurs in the abdomen in regard to the bowel by what we call it fibrosis and adhesions. The patient, for example, has previous long time an old surgery in the abdomen, inside the abdomen. Patient, he had appendectomy in the childhood, while he was a childhood. These patients might, it's not necessarily that all patients, some of these patients might present with some fibrosis in the abdomen, in the peritoneal cavities, formation of bands of fibrosis. These bands might bend the bowel and make an acute angle which cause an obstruction of the bowel proximal to this portion of the bending. Okay? Now, remember that the bowel, the tube of the bowels are controlled by what?
Peristalsis.
Peristalsis, the muscles. So if the muscles are paralyzed, they don't contract, what will happen to the tube? It will distend. But is it obstructed or just distended?
Just distended.
So this is called physiological obstruction. Paralytic ileus. Physiological obstruction. Why? Because it is a physiological process. It is paralysis of the muscles. It is not a real obstruction. What happens is that the bowel will dilate, the fluid will stagnate or accumulate within the bowel loops like the obstruction. But it is not a real obstruction. The bowel will move, but the movement will be so slow by gravity that it will act like obstruction. It is not a real obstruction. So in general, we have two types of bowel distension. Bowel distension due to mechanical obstruction and bowel distension due to physiological obstruction, or what we call it, the ileus, physiological ileus, or paralytic ileus. Usually, the ileus occurs as a response to pain inside the abdomen. The innervation will shut down due to the pain. And this is the reason you will see dilatation of the bowel. This ileus might be localized or generalized, involving the whole bowel of the abdomen, according to the underlying cause of the paralysis of the bowel. What you see now in front of you is a scenario of patient with small bowel obstruction. If you have patient, these are the small bowel, this is the large bowel. If you remember the normal patient, the caliber of the large is definitely larger than the small. What happened here? The reverse. The small are dilated while the large bowel are collapsed. Why? Because the obstruction here will not allow any fluid or air to pass through. So the fluid and the air will accumulate proximally, and this is the reason to dilate. While distal to it, it will collapse. So what you would see, distal collapse loops, while proximally it will be dilated. Now, what's important is, as you see here, the norm is to differentiate between the mechanical and physiological obstruction when you have dilated bowel loops. The tube is dilated. How can we differentiate? If you go back into your physics in the secondary school, if you have a U-tube, and you fill that tube with water, why? Gravity. ذكروا قاعدة أرخميدس؟ شيلنا من الفيزيكس. This is, the fluid will be at the same level. Why? Because of the gravity, the pressure, the column pressure of the air and the gravity. طيب, let's say that this is the two tube. If we elongate one and make the second at a lower level, what will happen to the fluid level? It will be still at the same level because of the pressure. Whatsoever the difference in the length of the tubes, because of the gravity and the pressure, the column pressure of the air. So the fluid levels in this tube will be at the same. So what do you think? In mechanical obstruction or physiological obstruction would be the fluid at the same height?
Physiological.
In the physiological. Why? Because in physiological obstruction, it is dilated the tube. There is no peristalsis. It looks like a tube. Whatsoever the length of these bended tube, the fluid level should be at the same level or at the same height. But if you have mechanical obstructions, remember that the peristalsis, if you have, when you open the water in that tube and you obstruct the distal end, what will happen is that the pressure of the water will try to overcome the area of obstruction. The same in the abdomen. If you have a mass obstructing the distal bowel, what will happen is that the peristaltic activity will try to increase as to overcome the pressure, the site of the obstruction. So the end result is that you will have some loops which are constricted while the others are dilated. Let's resemble this with our tube in the lab. We said if you have a tube bended, the fluid will be at the same level. If you increase or decrease the height, the fluid will be kept at the same level. Let's say that we have changed the diameter of the tube. One is large, one is narrowed. Will be this fluid level at the same? It will differ. Why? Because in the large diameter, air column pressure will be different from the narrow tube. So in the wide, the fluid will go down, while in the narrow, the fluid will go up. So it depends on the diameter where you will have different in the level of the fluid. The same in the mechanical obstruction. I said that the peristalsis will try to overcome the site of the obstruction. Therefore, you will have some of the loops are contracted while the others are dilated. So what is the end result? That the fluid levels in the dilated loops will be low in position, while the fluid levels in the contracted lumens will be at a higher level. Therefore, you will see air fluid levels at different heights. So if you see air fluid level at different heights, this is usually referred to mechanical obstructions. If you see it at the same level, it will refer to physiological obstructions. But remember, air fluid levels are pathology if they are seen in dilated loops, not in a normal diameter. And this is an important issue here at the end of the sentence. Although these are classic, they are neither sensitive nor specific. What do you mean by this? It doesn't mean that always it is this is the rule. You might see some of the loops are at the same levels, then you'll see different levels. So you might see exceptions. So you don't take it as an absolute rule to differentiate between the small and large bowel physiological and mechanical obstruction. Let's come to this patient. This is another scenario. What is the obstruction here?
Mass.
In the large bowel. What happened to the small bowel? Collapse. So the enlargement will affect only the large bowel proximal to the site of obstruction. But let's say that this patient had a mass which had been there for almost 1 week or 10 days. What do you think? What will happen? What will happen is that the pressure inside the colon will be transmitted into the small bowel by the
back pressure.
Ileocecal valve. Mm-hmm. So the air will escape from the ileocecal valve into the small bowel, and the small bowel will start dilate. So if you have a large bowel obstruction with dilatation of the small bowel, it means that this is a chronic type or subacute type. It's not an acute type of large bowel obstruction. So this is what we call it, long-standing obstruction, where you have both are dilated. Let's look at this patient. What do you think about this patient?
Small bowel, the large bowel.
The small and large bowel. What's the difference between the two images? This is what? Supine. And this one, erect. It's not. So one is supine, the second is erect, the patient is standing. Is it normal or abnormal?
Abnormal, dilated.
Dilated. But I need a very definite answer why it is abnormal.
Dilated fluid.
This is sort of a trick. I want just to see how much you are alert or awake. I need an answer why it is an abnormal X-ray, not a normal X-ray.
In the young count, visceral.
He mentioned that it is dilated. Why it is abnormal? يلا حنبدأ نأخذ جوائز.
Does the edge of the organ is white?
Why?
Anatomical of small intestine.
It's a trick. عبيدة. ليه بس خليش هذا. Why it is abnormal? Because it's written intestinal obstruction. صحينا هذا. Not on a trick. All what you have seen and said is right. This is a patient with dilated bowels, and not only dilated bowels. The dilatation is that it extends all over the abdomen, and in a way that we could not clearly differentiate small from large bowel. But we need to go back into the concept. What are these signs that we could differentiate between small and large? The location one and mucosal fold. Can we appreciate the mucosal fold here? I'll try to show you. I'll show you another example. This is another example. Can you see the mucosal fold here?
Yes. Large bowel.
Small.
They are very thin. Very thin folds that traverse the bowel. So the dilatation is mainly
small bowel.
Small bowel, although it is extending all the way through the whole abdomen. Look carefully at the periphery. Is this loop dilated like the one in the central? Collapsed. This is the large bowel. This is the right side colon, which is collapsed. So the distension is mainly in the small bowel. Let's look at the erect film. Look at the, this is what we call air fluid level. Can you see the fluid now? The level is this a normal caliper of the small bowel. What's the normal caliper we said? 2 to 3 centimeters.
2.5 centimeters.
Is this 2.5 centimeters? This is almost 7 centimeters. So this is a definite dilated loop type. Are the levels at the same height?
No.
So is this one physiological or mechanical obstruction?
Mechanical.
So we could say from the plain film that this patient has small bowel obstruction, which is mechanical obstruction, not physiological, not ileus. I might ask you a question which is not related to radiology. What are the causes of mechanical bowel obstruction?
Malignancy.
Strictures.
Nerve lesion.
Adhesion. The most common cause is
adhesions
from previous surgeries. Now, the others, the malignancies, inflammatory, which can lead to either mass or strictures in the bowel. Okay? So all these are important issues in regard to the obstruction. If you have young adults with obstructions, one should think of adhesions as more likely. Elderly patient, one should investigate for malignancy. This is another example. I'm going to finish with these two slides. This is a patient who has dilated bowel loops again, and you could see the air fluid levels. It's more clear than the previous. Why? Because we gave contrast here. The patient has taken oral contrast, and this is why you see white. Instead of the fluid, you see it as white areas. This is due to the contrast. And again, because of the location within the central portion, the patterns of the folds, it is small bowel obstructions. Now, does the CT scan help us in delineating the location of the site of the obstruction?
Yes,
we said that the importance of the CT over the plain film can delineate the anatomy more clear. I'm sure that this image will not show you the, will not be as clear as what we think about when you look at it from the first time as a student. But just to give you the concept of the importance of the CT scan, is that these are the dilated loops, and you could see it now clearly separated. This is the air fluid levels, which are seen at different heights. What's important is that this is the contrast which is given to the patient. So some of the bowel loops has a contrast within, and this is the reason it appears as white. Now, if you look carefully, can you see this span?
Yes.
This is part of a collapsed loop. So at this location, we have a loop which is markedly dilated, while the adjacent one is collapsed. So what the CT scan gave us is that at this location, there is a transfer from a dilated loop into a collapsed loop. So the obstruction is most likely to be at this level. And at this level, I cannot see any masses. So the obstruction is not likely to be due to masses. It might be due to adhesions. We did a plain film in this patient, and what we see is there is an acute angulation. Can you see the acute? Due to the bending of the bowel. And this acute angulation is what made the patient presenting with an obstruction proximal to that area. So So adhesions can lead to obstructions. في أي سؤال عن صور الدوز عالي شوي فهنوقف بهالمرحلة لأن نكمل الأسبوع الجاي. في أي سؤال؟
شو نطلع؟